Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey guys, it's Autumn Rain with Beyond the Record, and today I have rising New Jersey producer and artist, Bo7, here with me today. How are you doing today?
Good, I'm good. Another day in the office, another day alive, so that's good.
Yeah, no, seriously. So I want to get started off by, what brought you to music? Why did you decide to pursue music as your career?
I feel like music decided me, I can't lie. I'm one of those people. Like, I grew up in the church, so like music been there. My mom used to tell me that she used to be a singer when she was younger, so music's been there. She said that her grandfather was a drummer when he was younger, so music's been there. I used to be like banging on the table. You know how people used to freestyle in high school?
Oh yeah.
So be the guy who banged on the table, hummed and everything. So little did I know, I was already a producer then. Like I said, music was always there. I just never noticed. I went to school, like college. So then I ended up meeting hella musicians. I went to William Patterson. So like, I promise you, everybody I met there was more worried about an entrepreneurship career rather than even like education for real or whatever. So like, ended up meeting a bunch of producers, rappers, aspiring artists and stuff like that. They still even like work too. Like most of them actually still like be doing shit now. And then, yeah, I honestly just group of friendships. Family background, upbringing in general should just led me to where it was. So I was spending more time like learning about music and everything. Mm-hmm. Like I said, rather than even like learning what I was supposed to all different places. So yeah, like I'll be in church worried more about the hymns and the songs they're singing. School, I'll be excited just to go to lunch, just to bang on tables. College, I'm literally damn near skipping classes just to go to studios with my homies and stuff in New York and everything. So, yeah. Well,
you've like been dedicated for a really long time in music.
Yeah. Without even really like noticing, I thought it was kind of just something I was playing around with. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, 2017, 2018 is where I was just like, okay, let me actually do something with this, take it seriously. Mm-hmm. When I first got my first few placements or whatever, like shit, and those were more bigger placements than I probably even got a long time after. Like it kind of was like, it was a good and bad because it showed me like how easy it was to make money in music, but then it showed me like how it wasn't that easy. Like it was way too soon. And like, I got like $400 beats sold in like the first year I was making beats.
Oh, wow.
Wow, to do that again after. So I'm like, yeah, no. It was good and bad though. That's something I learned real quick, like almost way too quick. So like, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, keep going. So.
No, that's amazing though. I get that. I think sometimes when you start, I feel like you're expected to start off slow, but then when you do get that like pop and you start off like so fast, it's kind of just like, well, how do I like, you know, continue and keep up with that progress? So that's really dope though. Like $400 beats first year is crazy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, because it just happened to be like, I believe in luck, but somebody said you have to prepare to have your actual luck. So like, yeah. I already had beats. I was already sending beats out. I was already knowing enough artists to like talk to people. And then one of my friends sent me somebody that he found on Crime Life Cast. Uh-huh. I sent him a bunch of beats like I usually would do anyways. I didn't have no, I'm a humble guy, so I don't have no fear of DMing you 20 beats or whatever randomly. Spamming. Mm-hmm. So, like, I spammed him. He liked one of them. Well, he actually liked like two or three of them. So he made a few tracks. The one that got released, he just happened to get signed that week to Alamo Records up in New York. So wow. It just happened to be that the first beat he's using on my track is the first single he has for the tape. I mean, for the record label that he just got signed. So it just happened to be that's the one that they're pumping the money into. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So it's literally just like by luck. But I mean, if I never had the beats made or like I never sent a beat, it wouldn't have happened. So like shit like that is like, yeah, it's literally how that story went. And yeah, like I said, it probably took like another year or two to work with another signed artist after that. So it was just like it was an overwhelming feeling, but then it was like humbling at the same time. So I was like, damn.
Wow. So are you allowed to say who the artist was or no?
Yeah. Crime Life Cast is the first one. He's, I don't know how active he is now, but like he has this song Forrest Gump that went super viral like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He's New York City guy, Brooklyn. He went to like prison for like 3 years for some shit. So that's what really stunted his whole like growth as an artist. But now he's still working, has a good following online and everything, fan base. And then the other artist that I was working with is B Jackson and Shawnee Bin Laden. And then there's a couple other people, but like more like independent labels and stuff like that.
Okay, that's cool. How do you find these artists to connect with them?
I mean, me, I have a good like A&R for the team I'm on, Dark Side, pretty much the head A&R too. So like I'm a producer first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like really good sounding music. Like, by the time I even want to rap on something, I would really have to like the beat and really want to say something. So, other people's music, I treat the same. Like, if I really like your music, that means I really like, I'm a fan. Like, I'll go tune in, go to the catalog, blah, 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 see any Easter eggs if you have anything, blah, blah, blah. So, I become a fan of a person. I told you I'm genuine. I don't have no problem reaching out and trying to work. So, like, B-Jax, I don't know if you know B-Jax, you know B-Jax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
B-Jax, I happen, like I said, it's somewhat luck, but it's never luck because the work has been done. So I was putting out music already. B-Jax actually reached out to me years ago, like to, I don't know, like 20, right before COVID type thing. So like 2019-ish, one of my friends from Union, he just told me, yo, there's a rapper who heard about your beats. He wants to meet you. So that's cool. It just so happened to be that one day when I linked up with this friend to go poke on some Mary Jane, we literally just poking on Mary Jane. And then B-Jax happened to call him at that time, ask him what he was doing. He was like, yo, I'm actually with that producer you were talking about, Mink. I'm linking up. Mm-hmm. We just linked up. And ever since then, it's just been locked in. Literally, I was like recording him. Yeah, everything started in my crib. So like half of these artists that I work with, step foot in my house, like I gotta trust you a lot for that. So
Step
in my house, started there, was recording him. Yeah, like honestly a good like year or two straight, like half of his songs on YouTube is what I recorded and mixed and mastered for him. From the I'm Hymns to Bankrolls. If you go to his catalog, stuff like that is literally recorded by me. I mean, like most of the artists that I work with, I tell them I'm not joking. When we lock in. So we're gonna be locked in for years. We locked in for years. We would go up Penthouse, Quad Studios, wherever we could find Untitled Export. Anywhere I was working at, he was working at. We would just try to get some work done, regular stuff, just hungry as fuck. We would be on the streets of New York City till like 2 a.m. He always just told me something important is just do the work and be outside. Like, literally, I'm like, I do understand it now. So literally just do the work, be outside, connect with people, and that's it. So like stuff like that is what really led me into just reaching out to other artists. Like, I just genuinely like an artist. I'll reach out. I make good music, in my opinion, in our opinion. So they would reach back out. And then from there it goes. Like, I'm not finding artists on some, like, random stuff. It's, like, usually intentional. Because, like, usually people find me off of the work I do. Mm-hmm. So reaching out to an artist is because I'm, you know, same way on Instagram. Do word of mouth, any type of referral. If I like it, I have no problem telling the person I like their music. Like, you know, I'm not bougie, so.
I like that. I think I like that it's intentional too. I think when it comes to music, a lot of people just like having these like facades online, and they're just not like great people sometimes. And then you get to the point where, like, even like as a journalist, I love like reaching out to different artists because I really genuinely love your music and I want to talk to you about it. Yeah. So I love that that's how you approach, you know, your own artistry as well. Can you tell me a little bit more about like Dark Side Industries and what you guys do there?
Well, I'm here right now. I ain't gonna show them because it's a little messy or whatever, but we do a lot. So like we just came off of throwing some events this weekend. So originally it starts as like a community for creatives. Honestly, we're based, it's just a community for creatives. Then after you get everything else, we have services, we have events, we have individual people who run around and do things for other outside services. We have artists on the team, producers on the team. We're not signed or anything under contracts yet. But so it's not like a label. Like I said, it's a community service based place. So it's like we have the community, we have the services that we do in-house for our artists and then out-house for other people. So they just need us for whether it's a cover art for something, or you need a fly, or you need speakers for your party, or you need curation for your event, or you need studio time. Service all of those. But then we have people like me, my business partner V, who's really the owner of this, Don Airy, Brianna Nicole, Sincerely Chico, and like others who are like the in-house artists, and other producers on the team too. So those are the people that we like prioritize, you know? So, like one of the priorities, because I am the good artist on the team. So I Cloudy's going. So for that example, like we would have anything that I want done. I just think about, schedule it with the team. They do their best to make sure everything is done. So it's not like I said, like a label where we're forcing you to do anything or we're creating ideas. You're just yourself. We're there to amplify it pretty much, like literally just amplify it. And obviously budgets and everything comes after. But yeah, that's really what we do. Creative solutions, community-based events, anything you like to think about creative-wise, it's pretty much what we're doing here. So me personally, I had joined the team like right in the beginning stages of it, 2020-ish, 2021, because I got some of my partner, V. He's another artist on the team. He's the owner of the thing with his best friend, Kels. So that's one of my other business partners. This was an idea they had for years. They just didn't have, like most people, the supporting other people to really push the idea. A few of their family members, a few other artists, probably like four or five people that were Dark Side by the time I met them or whatever. So it's, once again, it's a huge community, but it was probably like four or five people they would say is, you know, the branch of people who are actually going to help push the thing forward. So when they met me, they liked how they saw how I was producing with different people. I explained to them I went to school, just like I always said earlier, William Patterson, graduated with finance. So I am like all about numbers. I love business, anything marketing. So they understood those two like extremes. And yeah, they just grabbed me up, said, hell yeah, we got this idea. I was looking for people the same way they were looking for people to just trust and be like-minded with my ideas and invest a little bit. It's not even like you have to do it all because I can support myself. Just invest a little bit in my ideas the same way I would in theirs. That is it. The same way I asked for them. They was probably asking for me. We fell upon each other and then we just took it there. Because like I said, COVID, I was like 2020, 2021. So because COVID, I couldn't live at school anymore. But I was still taking online classes, but that gave me way more than enough time to be out in the streets, like going to shows, even more studio time again, stuff like that. So that's where I had friends who was already out in the streets. They already met them in Elizabeth. And then we had a house in Elizabeth. That was V's house. We ended up moving to a studio in Roselle Park. After that fell through, like we didn't even fall through. We just decided like we kind of outgrew that. And we had got our own space in Rahway, New Jersey. We're here now.
No, that's lit. So it's just basically, I love when those opportunities come about. Like, you know, they needed someone, you needed somewhere to be, and now you guys are just working together seamlessly. So
yeah,
that's really dope.
Yeah, it really was just like genuine, like business story. Like, yeah, like-minded people is very important. That's why, like, even on my new project, I say it's not the wrong idea. It's probably just the wrong homies. So it usually is like, it's a lot of principle stuff that I think and I know that I say on that tape. Cause that's like I said before, like if I really like a beat, I really want to say something. That's when you hear music from 4-7. No, like I really want to say something. It's not the wrong idea. It's just the wrong homies. So yeah.
No, I love that. I love that. So I know you've worked with a lot of like rising talent, especially a lot from like New Jersey, New York area. So who are some artists that people could be tapped in right now?
Artists that I work with or just in general?
It could just be just in general too.
Well, artists that I work with, if you haven't tapped in, that I know is already moving around or you should be tapping in with, B-Jax. Once again, that's my boy. I have to always put my boy B-Jax up. Anybody Slizzy, I support anybody Slizzy. Honestly, I love everything that's going on. Once Black Men is winning, I support it. So like anybody Slizzy.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
New York City, that is it. I got my homies up in Ebbitsfield. So I fuck with my boy, Maury Blick. That's a personnel in Maury Blick. He got his little YNs too. That's like, these are like family to me. So like, these are like, I mean, people I support regardless. It's a lot of talent hidden in the towns of Jersey too. Not just Newark and Elizabeth, but the towns like Rahway where I am. Bring my boy Chucky, but there's one of my artists, Chucky Sev, that I've been recording for like 2 years. Like a 17-year-old wildcat, like he be wilding. I love him for myself. Like he's tough. He come in here 30 deep and then like make sure his friends hop on songs too, make sure he's supporting them and stuff like that. So they got like a whole movement out here, set block. So Rahway scene is tough. Even the Union, I don't know. There's not too many rappers in Union, but my boy Groovy Jew, that's another Union artist. If people don't know, like Groovy Jew, there's a reason they know each other, and I'm right. So I'm like, have you ever heard the song Jersey Love? Like there's a lot of layers to that. Even my boy B-Jax's manager, Fedgy, like there's just people even beyond the music that people should tap into because those are the real movers. Like me personally, I'm a rapper, but like I literally know I'm an innovator and I'm a community builder. So I know it's beyond the rappers. Like we got to shout out the producers, like people like me, Zay Too Lit, Zaya Fire. Like Zaya Fire is one of the homies that be here. Project X, the whole Project X people be here. Like literally it's like those are the movers of the place, the even the music hub building. Like that comes from the studio owners, people like my partner V, people like Untitled Export. I don't know if you know Logan up at Untitled Export, Ginger guy. He's moving stuff, Cell Block down South Jersey, but he has like these block house freestyle music video stuff going on. Those are real movers. So like that's the people to tap in, because from there you'll tap into a bunch of other artists. From one producer, you find out about 30 different artists. Even my boy, Cook Up Cozy, like he moves with a bunch of artists too around here. That's somebody else who's like a me, artist, producer, has like 20 other artists under his line that like when the dots are connected correctly, people can push the whole Jersey scene to be like in general. Everybody loves Rocky. That's another one too.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Rocky. She's fire. It's a bunch of them. It's a bunch of them. Cause I even like can't even name, like I didn't even name my personal clients that I fuck with, like the PDK people and IQ PDK. He's somebody from Elizabeth and the rest. There's just so many of them. There's mad talent out here. Like literally.
Yeah, legit. New Jersey has like the best people, I swear. I think that it's like underrated sometimes because we have New York like right next to us, so people forget about us sometimes, but there's a lot of New Jersey bred talent, and that's why I love talking to like New Jersey producers and other artists that are still based in New Jersey, because I'm always put on to new people, and
Yeah, new scenes. That's what I'm like, and it's definitely not even sometimes overshadowed by New York, but it's always overshadowed by New York. But that's the beauty and the problem with it, because like, mm-hmm. same way they have like, we have a genre. That's what I said in another interview I did before. Like, we have a genre. Like, mm-hmm. club is a genre of music. So like, it's not to the States that like export a genre globally. Mm-hmm. At that, yeah. even like something that we have a scene. Fat bro, there's people in China using Jersey Club and they don't even know where it came from. So like, mm-hmm. yeah, of music. So I already know we're cemented as one of the most like important game changing places. Mm-hmm. People don't know, like, I learned through my business partner V, because he's a huge like film fan, that like film literally started in New Jersey. Like,
that's
in Newark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, West Orange, Newark and Rahway. Like, I never knew this stuff. Like, in the building that we're in right now, the building you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Do you know Nikola Tesla? Mm-hmm. This was Nikola Tesla's building. Wow. So funny enough, the name Darkside, right? Uh-huh. My partner V, it's his thing, Darkside. So they spent years, they're black men like me. Mm-hmm. Let me, long story short, it, Darkside is to play on the word dark. Mm-hmm. So this actually is where you get enlightened. That is what I liked about the name and the whole like environment of the place, like, and the people I was around when I met them, because like Alvy would literally do the same thing. He had his house and it was like 20 of his cousins, and you would think like they own bullshit because mm-hmm. they look like scary dudes, but like, yeah, no, when you walk in the house, this corner they're making edibles to sell to someone, this corner someone's producing, this corner someone's already shooting a music video in the backyard. I'm looking like, yo, like, y'all don't even know y'all have a running business in your house. I'm like, I don't know if y'all know y'all have a production company literally in your house. Like, what the hell? So like, that's like the things like I was learning. And then that's what he was like, it's basically years of understanding, like, there's negative connotations to us as people in general. And just like the whole black magic and voodoo and everything. There's people who have taken from us, flipped the word, and then giving it back to us. It's like the N-word itself, taking it, the power of that word, and just, yeah, I'll brand it. Like, we are the dark side. If you're scared of the dark, that's your fault. It's mm-hmm. you can come and see what's in the dark. Like, yeah, I mean, people only fear what they don't know. So, like, that's the whole thing. But, yeah, like, after understanding that, after really being around the people long enough, yeah, people get intimidated or inspired by the fact that we don't do bad business and we actually do enlighten people. You can literally only get intimidated by that or inspired by that. Yeah. So like,
that's true.
I have to choose. Like, it's not up to me to choose. Like, it's literally for if someone hears the words and see how we move and gets intimidated by that or inspired by that, it's literally not much in betweens.
I just think like dark in general, it's just like people just have a negative connotation towards it, you know, yeah. Like black cats are looked at differently, black people, obviously. So let's talk about your tag, you know, like your producer tag. I know what it is, but I want you to tell the people what it is. And what is your personal favorite producer tag besides your own?
Okay. Interesting. So my tag, all right, first answer is my tag. I don't even want to expose myself because I want to like make sure that shit's mine before like I could tell you. I don't even care where it came from, but like it's from a video. Like, if y'all know anything about World Star Hip Hop, like they used to do like these interviews on the street, and then they was asking a question. Some lady, they asked, I think it was how many states are there in the country, or how many stars are there on the flag? All I know is the answer is supposed to be 50. Uh-huh. All I know is the answer is supposed to be 50. The lady said, well, there's like 13 colonies, 50 states. And then she was like, well, 13 minus 50, goddamn 47. And there you go.
I love that. I'm
literally like, there you go. Like, and it's something that I already knew about. And then me and my boy, Feji, actually, B-Jax's manager, and that's my other boy, that's my brother right there. So, like, he was just, sitting with me, toking on some Mary Jane. He was like, bro, because I already had a goddamn 40. Like, my thing was always goddamn 47 for some reason. But that was only because people would be like, yo, goddamn, 47, that shit tough. So, like, I just didn't have a tag to it. It was before it was originally the person that I got the name from inspired by, Capital Steez. I don't know if you know anything about Joey Badass Pereira, Capital Steez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so he used to. He's the main like reason the number 47 was always in the back of my mind to use. Me and Fedji were just chilling. He was just like, yo, everybody's always saying goddamn 47. Have you ever thought about using that tag? And then it was just that. So I tell him all the time, man, I owe you a million whenever I get time right. Cause he's the one that technically found the tag.
Okay.
Flipped that up, used that. Now I got like 2-3 different versions of that because there is different people who've referenced that joke. Like even on Kaisenat, there was a Kaisenat stream they recently did. They recently just like jokingly repeated that goddamn 47. Like, you don't think I'm about to clip that up too? Like, what you mean? Yeah, literally. That's where the tag is coming from. Literally just hip hop.
What are some of your favorite producer tags?
Oh yeah, you did say that. Honestly, I would just have to say, like, I love every Pierre. Like, Pierre Bourne was who inspired how to use my tags, like where to place them at the top of the song, or like, you know, like I like how he starts the song off with his tag and then beat drops his tag for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Metro Boomin always got like nice different tags. I fuck with his. If you don't trust him, like, yo, Metro don't trust you and go shoot, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, I hate bringing this guy's name up so much. Random note.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact. One of Pierre Bourne's tags, if you know one of Pierre's tags, it's like, yo, Pierre, yo, Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever heard that one, it's like, yo, Pierre, yo, Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
That's B-Jax.
Really?
Y'all could clip this and do whatever. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. B-Jax literally was at a Pierre Bourne show. And like, yeah, was yelling that outside. Like, that's the homie. He clipped that when it happened. So like, he was super viral off of that. That's Pierre Bourne, like, tag. That's like, yo, Pierre. That's B-Jax yelling that outside of a place. And then people are just like, yo, Pierre, yo, Pierre. That's B-Jax.
That's insane.
That's on my, I swear to God, Jersey always finds its way somewhere. Like, I'm like, what? Like, and that's something I knew, like, years ago. Like, that's not new news. Like, if you know B-Jax, you know Pierre Bourne's tag is B-Jax, one of those. So like, that's just a funny note. But like, yeah, his tag is one of my favorites for sure. Even the yo Pierre, you wanna come out here? That tag is fire. It's really just Pierre Bourne, Metro Boomin, bro. I don't really care for people's producer tags like too much. I know it hits, but like that's something like not too many I could tell that like I know literally 50% of people who like my music. Mm-hmm. Come and tell me, yo, it's because of tag. I'm like, yo, what? There's 2 minutes of audio and you really hit it. What hits is 4 second audio? Yeah. I don't know. I literally don't make the game. So like, I'm just playing it. So because I know people love the tag, of course, I'm putting it everywhere. Like literally, I'm not making the game. I just literally respond to it. So like, yeah, no.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
All I could do.
I know you talked about also like you being an artist. I'm producing as artistry as well, but like being a vocal artist on top of being a producer. Did you ever find yourself struggling between those two roles, or you kind of just have them separately?
For sure. That's like, that's no pun intended, everyday struggle. Like, cause let alone everything else, like producer and artist, yes, but studio owner, marketer. Like self-marketer at that point, creative direction.
Yeah.
I like to wear these hats. So it's not like something like I'm feeling like I'm forced to do because I have to do it.
Yeah.
I literally want to like make my videos look how I imagined. I want my beats to sound how I want them to. I want the beat drops to be where I want them to. I want like if any additional pianos or anything, I want to add them myself or get people I want to add them.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I wear or like anything I literally roll up in is me.
Oh, wow. I want
everything me. I literally,
that's a flex, honestly. That's a flex. So you just dropped Making the Pain Sound Better Too, which is like, you know, after your first album of the same name. So can you just tell me the inspiration behind that follow-up project?
Life. It's literally like life. Like I said it before, like I can't lie about what I'm saying. Like I'm a producer first. So by the time I want to rap or something, or unless it's really like a rare night where I'm just with the bros freestyling or something, if I'm intentionally making music, mm-hmm. I really want to say that. So like those songs, pieces of those songs, like the first two songs, and then maybe like number five of the track, those were songs already made for like literally one of those songs on there. I remixed like the interlude song was made in 2018. And then like, I just remixed myself last year and then that's how I got the interlude song. But like, those were, yeah, just really songs that I made over time that I felt like were very close to my heart, very like vulnerable, transparent. Cause I really use my music as like therapy. Like I try to like say everything I need to be said or things I know people won't say. And then throw it on a good ass beat that makes you want to like bounce and then confuse people. Like, people like say, what is it? Feeding the medicine with candy or some shit like that. Something like that. Oh, this is like that. Like feeding people the medicine with the candy or whatever. So it sounds good. And then, yeah, you're still learning about me. You're still learning about yourself, damn near humans in general.
Yeah.
And that's really just what inspired it. Cause those songs were already recorded for the most part. I intentionally recorded, like Line was one of those ones that I intentionally recorded to piece the tape together, actually, because that was recorded, I can't even lie, I recorded that a month ago. Like I literally just finished those and I was just like, nah, like I needed certain songs to really tie everything together. So I just went back, threw some songs off, and then just really created Line like literally in a day or two, because like I said, it's not hard to do when I'm already knowing what I want to go in and do. And then I know who to grab. So like the co-producer on there, Zay Too Lit, I already know he's the one that I would reach out to make a beat that sound like that. It happened to be exactly that. And then, I just took it from there because like I said, it's not really inspired. Like it's stuff that I go through and then I just choose whichever ones I feel like is good enough. So I'm good enough, vulnerable enough to let people in on some of that truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's really it.
Like, I was telling you off camera that like Line is my favorite on the project. Do you have a personal favorite?
Diamond in the Rough. Mm-hmm. Diamond in the Rough, without a doubt, either that one or Interlude, literally. Because Interlude is my favorite just because that was literally me. Like every damn near thing I was saying on that first part of the song is like exactly what I even ended up becoming or like doing. And then, Diamond in the Rough is literally one of those moments. Diamond in the Rough was the song I recorded when I decided I was going to make that tape. So actually, if you want the inspiration for that tape, it was Diamond in the Rough. That track, once I finished that track, I said, wow, this is pain. And I was just like, well, I guess it's that tight. And like, I guess it's that season. So I was just like, I'll put the tracks together. I already kind of had an idea of like three or four other tracks, like Escape, that I had already recorded. Like as of a year now, Escape's a year and a half old. So like, it's just been sitting on my computer. But like tracks like that, I'm just like on some A&R stuff. I'm like, yeah, like I know I have certain songs that it's just going to hit. Let me piece together these and then let me record like two more new songs, like Your Line and Want to See More. And then that just pieces everything together. And then on some A&R shit, like I like to do, fully produce it with calling in my V's, the Don Aries, the Shadat that's on there, OG Roddy, who's online. He's the one like talking shit at the top and the bottom of the song. So that's what really brings the life to the tapes, you know? Like I'm really like soundscape music engineer for real. So like, yeah, you gotta make that shit really like real life. And like listen to it with headphones on too. A certain part where like vocals is panning and stuff, like very intentional. So
I think I learned that too with your artistry too, just like listening to this project in particular. But I really wanted to call out the transition between Escape and It's Funny. Like I feel like it moves just like really well. Like
perfect.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, that's what I call. I was like, wait, like, I'd look at my phone when I'm listening to music because I kind of don't want to know the title of the track. I'm weird like that. I kind of just want to see like if I can feel it like afterwards. So when I was listening to Escape and then it moves to It's Funny. So was that like an intentional purpose for you to like, you know, transition that way?
Yeah, for sure. Like everything I said is I'm an artist. So like I'm literally the definition of an artist. Anything you see me put online is probably more than likely intentional unless I'm drunk as shit and talking my shit. Uh-huh. Anything, if there's a there's something you think is wrong with it, I probably put it there for that reason to make you think it. You feel me? Like I wanted like the tape to sound how I wanted, like even on parts of Entangle, it probably sounds scratchy or like parts are hitting too hard or too low because like I want it like that because I know it's some club shit. I just wanted to max it out. I didn't even care what was clipping or anything. So like stuff like that is like intentional. Like there's certain songs where I would mix lower or whatever, but like those transitions for sure. I know track listing. I can tell you my track list order off the top of my brain because I do the track list and I worked with Don to do the track list and make sure every transition made sense. Like mm-hmm. whenever we're listening to it through, once the end of the song, I listen. We're a team. So like we treat it like a real project. So like it's four or five of us listening and then we're like, I'm like, okay. And I have no problem taking like real creative criticism. So like small changes were happening. Obviously I have this final say so. So mm-hmm. five times the final way we thought everybody agrees like, yeah, I know that shit transitioned perfectly. And then there we have it. Cause like I said, very intentional. Like I have reviews. Like I'm not, we are professional with our stuff. So like,
yeah. And I can feel that. That's what I'm saying. Like that was the first thing once I was listening to the project and I was like, found out I was going to be talking to you. I was like, yeah, I got to ask him about the transitions. Cause I personally, at least for the first time when I listen to a project, I like to listen it to from like the top bottom.
Top to bottom. And I'm glad you do. People don't. I'm like, yo, what the hell? That's why I had to even on the promo say start to finish. Like, yo, like, I got to tell y'all to listen to albums top to bottom because like people don't care no more. Like I know artists these days are really just stitching together songs that sound the same and don't even have any topics to do with each other or anything. And just damn near putting out playlists, not even albums. So like, no, I'm not those artists. I'm Flo 7. I put an album, so that's the point. Like, you can go to Baphomet back in 2020, my first project, listen to it top to bottom, and that is a better experience than all humbly, too. Most of these projects people are putting out now because, like, yes, there's a little bit more intention to it. Yeah. Like, that's the whole problem, and that's why I'm like, it is that easy for me to understand. Like, I'm an artist. I actually like my shit. I actually treat it well. Mm-hmm. Confident in my shit, like what you mean. So like checking off those marks is like a huge difference. Like a lot of people just putting out stuff just to hear their voice. Like I promise you.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I get sent a lot of music, so I can definitely co-sign what you just said. It's just a lot of just like it sounds more so like a playlist rather than a full project. And yeah. You know, I'm a huge Beyonce fan. And I remember even years and years ago, people were just she said during her documentary, people don't make albums anymore, you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
quick, like turnover music that no one's going to listen to the next year. If
yeah. so. It's that fast food music. And it's cool. I'll make fast food music too. I love me some fast food music.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shits right now. Sexy Drill is my favorite shit. These niggas don't be talking about nothing, but like, I love it. So like, I know we need that, but yeah, for like seven songs in a row, 15 songs in a row. No, that's when you start to realize the difference between like music and artistry with some people. So like, I don't have no problem with people creating music, but like, yeah, is there any artistry to it? I mean, that's a different conversation. But like, you know, it's nothing, I don't know, it's nothing wrong to care about your shit. So
yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people try to do this kind of like, you know, facade. They're like, I'm too cool to care about things. And I hate that because like you got people like spending their real money, time listening to you and then you're just putting crap out. It's like kind of disrespectful, you know, to people who are trying to support you.
Yeah, you got to be booty. Like you got to do what the like, I like no offense to them or whoever calls people booty or whatever, but like booty people put in more work. Like it's the talented guys who don't show up to the shows or when they're done performing, they leave right out and like whatever. They don't even want to go perform for nobody, or like they don't want to repost nothing. People tag them in and they want to be mysterious. And it's cool. Trust me. Like that works. Like it works for Nev or for whoever works for Playboy Cardi at a certain time. That's not for everybody. Like literally, that's literally different type of people. Like my boy B-Jack said years ago to me, if you want it to be the most simplest it is, it's posting your content, which includes your music. Yeah. And being outside, like literally networking and doing what you say you do. You say you make music, go make some fucking music. Like literally, that's the whole point. That's something I tell everybody, even in here, who comes to visual people, DJs, anything. Like, yo, just do what you say you do. I promise you, that will be more self-fulfilling for yourself and the people around you. Because like, yes, if you're just saying you're an artist and you haven't put out a song or a visual or performed in like 5 years, yo, you're literally just clouding up my brain with information for no reason. There's really no point. Like,
I get that.
Do what you're doing. Like, I don't know. It's simple. Like you, I heard that you interview people.
Mm-hmm.
We're on an interview right now.
Yeah.
Doing, like that's literally it. Like, I don't know. People think like it's something, it is something special to keep going. Cause like, that's the hard part of night.
Yeah.
Like just keep going, but that's, yeah, when you know that's all you can do, yeah, just keep going. Like, life is going, life regardless. So, like, the least you could do is do your God-willing talent whenever you got time to. So, like,
exactly. You got to be consistent and super hard. But it's so, the payoff is so worth it.
It's worth it.
So, one of my last questions I have for you is, can fans expect Making the Pain Sound Better Part 3? Is the third one?
Hopefully fucking not. Like, hopefully this is enough pain, like, and everything else is making, wow, making life look great. Like, I don't even know, like, no more pain. Like, I don't need no more, but like, whenever it come, it come. So like, no, you should not expect it. You should not expect it. You should not want more pain for 4/7. But if it do come, like, you'll know it's coming for sure. Like, you'll know. What they can expect is more music from me and my that boy Don Airy, who executive produced it. That's okay. For sure. So, like, and definitely expect more music and more visuals this year. Expect more visuals. That's what I'm worried about. Like, I like visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm saying music is in me. So, like, I have confidently, once again, I don't have to lie for no reason. 200 complete songs that I know people would like to drop at any moment. It's not about that though. I'm trying to be in real life with my people. I'm trying to make sure my visuals are there. I'm trying to make sure what I'm saying is intentional. So I got to go redo like half of those 200 songs. Trying to transition into what I know 4/7 is, which is a multifaceted artist. So it's like, it's going to take a little bit of time, but, as outside as I am, this is me falling back and figuring out what multifaceted looks like for me. Because, niggas know I'm a producer. Niggas know I'm an artist. I barely even tell people I own a studio. So, like, hell yeah. They're going to have to see that now and they're going to have to understand that. I barely tell people, like, I mean, I just let it be seen on the story and stuff, but I don't really meet people and tell them I'm a mixing engineer and all that stuff. So, like, I like to create music. Like, it's more than just mine. I would like to A&R people's stuff. I would like to make sure I'm like making sure your masters is correct and everything, because as much as I like my music, like I said, 20 other artists today that I've helped build and have worked next to, people help build me, like, yeah, it's a lot to do. Like, it's way more to do, and it's not about just servicing yourself. Like, literally, if we were just servicing ourselves, we would be Dark Side still, but we wouldn't have a community aspect of it. I wouldn't find out about you because I found out about you through somebody who chooses to come to our events. You know what I mean? That has nothing to do with 4/7's music. That was an event based off of something else going on in the team. So everything just leads back to Dark Side regardless. So like, it don't matter. So like, yeah, like that's what I'm more focused on rather than expecting any more pain from me. Don't expect no pain. Enjoy this pain right now. Now it's time to get Nikki. It's about to be summertime. It's over. Like, we're going to enjoy the summer.
Yes.
Enjoy the rest of the year. And then, yeah, more pain come. Y'all going to know. Y'all going to see me pull some cryptic stuff on the story for like 4 months straight and then delete everything. That's it.
Yeah, like I said, yeah. I don't want no more pain from you, but another project.
No. Don't expect no more making pain sound better. Expect the free foes. Like, free foe, we'll listen to that project too, and you'll notice I have different features and stuff going on, different vibes with that. Expect more free foes.
Okay.
Let me just put it that way. More free foes.
Yes. So where can we follow you to keep up with all these new adventures that you're going to be on?
Everywhere. Everywhere online is usually Foe7. Besides Instagram, it's Foe's Revenge.
Okay.
He got the website, darksideindustries.net, not .com, darksideindustries.net, especially darksideindustries.net/Foe7. Yeah, everywhere else you can find me in real life, bro. It's one of my quotables here is it's better in real life. So find us in real life. We have an arcade event in Rahway once a month. We have literally an open mic in Rutherford every week on Tuesdays, Rutherford, New Jersey, not East Rutherford, Rutherford, New Jersey. I have my project out, so I'm going to be doing some more shows. My members is always outside. We got DJs on the team who's DJing everywhere, every weekend. We got Monica, DJ Harmonica, who's just on Pix 11 News, which is crazy, but she's DJing in Dolce's in Elizabeth every Thursday. So, or every Tuesday. So like, every Thursday. So yeah, like this, I just name like 10 different events monthly you can find me at probably. So like, if they can't find me online, find me where it's better at in real life, literally. I can't lie.
It was so nice talking to you.
You too, Autumn.